This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to a new week of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting show and podcast with your hometown sportsbook, Bet Rivers. Looking ahead to three. It's a bumper three. ATP Tour events this week, 3 250 events all across the world. And delighted to say, joining me is our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Cav. A little bit later than usual today, Sean, because Davis Cup action, players haven't been finished playing, and the draws have been a bit late. Books are late, rivers are up late with their prices here and their odds. But we're here.
I can see why. I can see why they're late, because a lot of the players, some of the players, certainly the number one seed in Cordoba, is still playing, even as we speak, in Davis Cup. So I can see why they can't really price it if they don't know what the top seed's going to be doing. You know, if he's losing at the minute in Davis Cup. So I can understand why there's no prices. We've got prices on the other two, but Cordoba's the really interesting one, actually, which is a shame we haven't got outright price. But we've still got a lot to get through in this show. It's going to be a busy one.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy one. Before we move on to the tennis, the main talking points, how's your week? How's your day? What's to moan about today? Anything really annoyed you or anything?
Yeah, actually. Surprisingly, my little boy won Man of the Match.
That's brilliant.
This is his little Man of the Match award. He won that a few times before. But I'm not happy about it.
Why?
I mean, I'm happy that he won Man of the Match, but the coach played him out of position. The coach played him in midfield. He's a good player, and he's really skillful and everything, but he's an out and out striker. He's not interested in any sort of backtracking and stuff, but they played him in like a box to box midfield role today. And a poor little thing was exhausted. He's not used to doing all that backtracking. And he played someone who normally plays in midfield up front. So it was all very, and they lost 3-1. So there was much consternation on the sidelines from certain individuals, me. Basically, it was just me. The other parents didn't seem that bothered, but I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. It's you wouldn't play someone like a Michael Owen in like a holding midfield role, would you? And then play Makaleli up front. It doesn't make any sense.
But before we go any further, this isn't like the Essex Cup final for under 21 year olds. Your lad, how old's your lad?
He's just turned 9.
Come on. Yeah, but you've got to learn to play different positions. Midfield against
he hasn't got any stamina. He's short bursts. He's not a stamina guy. You know, if he was a horse, he'd be a 5-6 furlong sprinter. He wouldn't be a 4.5 mile in the slog Grand National type sort of plodder. So I'm not happy about it. If that happens again, there'll be words exchanged. That's all I can say.
You've threatened moving the clubs.
I wouldn't. I'm not. Nothing's off the table, you know. I'm not. You know, he might be 9, but you know, these kids in the academies and that, they're what, like 5-6 years old, and they're playing in the academies. And
How old's the manager? The young man or the old man?
No, probably about 40 or something, I suppose. I don't know.
Is he got another dads? Any of the dads?
Is he what? Sorry.
Is he the dad of one of the boys or nothing like that in the team?
His daughter actually plays in goal, but it was slightly forced because of an injury, but there was I'm not having this. Well, if I play a sport, I'm playing it, and I'm playing to win. I don't care about the rest of the team. That's not my problem. If I'm playing up front and I've scored and we've lost 3-1, all right, I'm not that happy, but I'm not that bothered because I've just sort of done my job. I'm not your sort of your team player, so to speak. I'm just
annoying.
Yeah, I know, but it's just annoying. It just makes no sense. It didn't make any sense at all. But you know, I don't like to moan about these things, as you know. So
anyway, if anyone's looking for a budding 9-year-old, he's going to be available in the South End area. You're looking for a striker, score you 25-30 goals a season. Lagan Calvert will be available in a very
just don't play him in midfield.
Don't play him in midfield, or he's off. The dad's taking him. He's off. He's off. Without further ado, let's move on to the tennis this week. We have three tournaments, as we said at the top of the show. It's a bumper show. We're going to run through these as quickly as we possibly can to give you the best bets and the angles on the outright market. We're going to start off with the south of France, where Sean was this time last year, down in Marseille. It's a 250 event. It's the Open 13 in Marseille. A pretty good-looking field is there. Herbert Hurkacz.
Better than last year when I was there.
Yep. So then Herbert Hurkacz won us last year when you were there. He won, not for us, but he was our most profitable player. He's the number one seed here this week.
We had Bonzi, didn't we?
We had Bonzi. And they could meet in the second. They could meet in round two, those two. Yep. Before we look at the draw and before we give you some prices on the outright markets, give us a little bit of the conditions. You have been there. You've seen it firsthand. What do you expect here on the hard courts of Marseille?
It's very hot. If you're thinking of going, don't bother taking a jumper. It's about 400 degrees in there. That sort of surprised me last year, actually. It was super hot in there. It used to be played on a GERF floor indoor hard surface that's kind of around about medium pace. But the draw sheet this year says acrylic on wood. Now, I'm not sure if that's the same thing or whether they've changed it, because with all these indoor venues, they operate as something else for the rest of the year. They do like basketball and all sorts of things at that arena. So that they're laid differently every year. So we're always guessing a little bit as to the speed. All we can say really is what's happened in the past, which is it averages 82% holds, 73.6% first serve points won in the last seven editions. 41% of the matches have featured a tie break. So, but that could change. You know, it's up to the whim of the tournament director, how they have it this year. 51% of the matches in the last 5 years have gone over 22.5 games. So no real trend there, but the slight trend to the overs, and particularly in round one, I've noticed the overs has cashed quite a lot in round one in recent years, in Marseille. Not massive for underdog winners, around about average 32% of the underdogs win. I'll talk about the trends in a minute when we talk about the outright.
If we look at the outright winners, this some big names won this tournament. Big names. Hubert Hurkacz won the tournament in 2023 last year. Rublev, Medvedev, Sebastian won it twice. Kachanov as well. So it's usually gone to a fancy player on the outright markets. And the fancy player this week in the draw, the four top seeds have already got buys through to the last 16. So they're automatically through to the second round. If it goes to seedings, you'll have Hurkacz against Musetti, Ugo Humbert against Davidovich Fekina, Felix Auger-Aliassime, we come back to a little bit of form last week, against Karin Khachanov, and Lehecka against Dimitrov. But sandwiched between those, you have some dangerous opponents. If you're looking at the draw, Sean, would you say there's more of an advantage to the top half and the bottom half? Probably slightly a little bit more advantage to the top half, would you say?
I think it's a really open draw, this. Just looking at the sheet now, there's you could look at this and make a case for about 10, 12, maybe more of them. I don't think there's any real advantage, to be honest, but top half or bottom half. It's a tough draw. There's an awful lot of good players in it. An awful lot of players could win. There have been several big price finalists here in recent years. As you said, that it does tend to go to the better players. Six of the last eight champions here have been single-figure prices, but only four number one seeds have won it since 2010. No qualifier has ever made the final. And as I said, there's several big price finalists. Bonzi last year, we had him 30-1. Pierre Aguirre-Zerbert, 66-1, 3 years ago. Kukushkin, 66-1, 5 years ago. And Kachanov won it as a 66-1 shot 6 years ago. So there have been a few decent prices that have sort of cashed on the each way. And I've got my eyes on one each way here.
We'll just give you the outright prices currently with BetRivers. Hurkacz is the favourite 4-1. As I said, he's been our most profitable player already in 2024, and he was in 2023. But we're looking to fade him on the outright market. Dimitrov is 8-1. Kachanov is 7-1 now, but it's been money for him. Ugo Humbert, 8-1. Korda, 9-1. Auger-Aliassime, double figures, 10-1. Mahak, 16. Davidovich Fekina, 16. 14-1. Lehecka, Musetti, 18. And Shapovalov, 18. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Sean, where the each way value is here and who you like in this draw in Marseille.
Taking a chance on Emil Roussevoiri around about 25-1, right. It's going to be. I thought he was going to be shorter than that, actually. I'm quite surprised he's that big of a price. If we look at what he's done on indoor hard in the last 10 matches at main level, very impressive stats. 107 service points won and return points won total, and a hold service hold and break total of 110. So very good numbers there. He should come here in fine fettle. He's just taken Finland through again to the Davis Cup finals, but he hasn't been too fatigued in the process. He played one quick singles and a quick double, so nothing too fatiguing. He's playing an indoor hard as well, so no switch of surface and no huge amount of travelling. So he should be in great spirits. Of course, he should have beaten Daniil Medvedev at the Australian Open. As we know, that epic match that went on until about 4 o'clock in the morning. Prior to that, he made the final of the 250 in Hong Kong in the first week of the season on a reasonably paced outdoor hard court. So I think there's a lot to like about his chances. He's in the same section as Hercash. Hercash was a little bit fortunate to get through to the final last year. Mikel Emer should have beaten him. I think it was in either the second round or the quarterfinals, but he failed to put away a match-winning chance. Mikel Emer, Hercash went on to win the title. Rusevoy's played three times against Hercash, won one, and the two others were lost in final sets. So three very close matches he's contested with Hercash. So I think if he gets through this first round against Van Asche, which is not going to be easy playing the French wild card, but Van Asche has been playing Davis Cup as well. I think if he gets through that one, I think he's got a reasonable chance of going deeper at a decent price.
So Rusevori, who's in good form in the Davis Cup for Finland, he's around about 28-1 in this tournament here in Marseille. And Sean believes he is a great each-way bet. Well, relatively good each-way bet. Great might be a bit optimistic, but a good each-way bet here. And he's in,
I think he's the best of the prices, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the top half of the draw. So he's in that. I think the top half is weaker, actually, Sean. I know Felix is coming back to some form. Kachanov is coming back to form. I think Dimitrov is playing well. I think if I was looking for an each-way bet, I would go for that top half. And if you can have Hercash at 4-1 or someone else at a bigger price and Rusevori at 28, does make a little bit of appealing there for the Finns. So Rusevori is our pick in Marseille at 28-1. Sean has two matches you want to talk about on the first round matches. And the first one is tomorrow at 11:20 a.m. Eastern time, and it's between two veterans of the tennis world, coming towards the end of their careers, I would have thought, Roberto Bautista Agut and Richard Gasquet, these two are very familiar with each other's games. They played nine times previously before, and it's the Spaniard, Bautista Agut, who leads 7-2, but the last time they did play was back in 2020. If you're looking at the outright market here, the money line, -220 for Bautista Agut, +175 for Gasquet. The handicap, the spread is 3.5, +104 for Bautista Agut giving up 3.5. Gasquet receiving 3.5 is -132. And the total here is 22.5 with over -103, under -124. There are 28 different bets available on the BetRivers website on this match and all the other matches on the three tournaments. Well, remember, you can watch live and bet live with BetRivers. If you place a bet on any of these matches, you'll be able to live stream the match from the comfort of your own home on your tablet, your mobile device, or your laptop. Sean, what do you like on this one?
Feels like this could be just too short a price for me on Bautista. I feel like it could be one for the over 22.5 games, of which there is a strong trend for in the early rounds of Marseille. It's a very strong trend, as I said before, of close matches, particularly in the first round. I think this is being priced on the head-to-head, which is a considerable advantage for Bautista Agut. If you look at the service points won and return points won totals over their career series, 110-90 in favour of Bautista Agut. So quite a big advantage. I think that's what the odds makers are going with here, because Bautista Agut, he hasn't been the same guy really since he fell off that horse last year and broken his leg or whatever it was he did to it. And, he was out for a very long time. I think this one is... I think Gasquet will do better than his odds suggest. He was poor last week in Montpellier, lost a match he should have won in the first round. Certainly coming to the end of his career now, 37 years of age. But at home here in Marseille, I feel like he's going to at least be competitive for periods of this match. Four of their last five opening sets actually have gone to either 7-5 or 7-6. So it's been a case of Bautista Agut just grinding it out, seeing the threat up, early threat off from Gasquet, and using his supreme fitness, his better fitness, you would say, than Gasquet to get the win. But what they've done at main level in the last 12 months is there's not a great deal between them. Bautista Agut's service points, 110 points, one title's 99, Gasquet 96. I just feel like Bautista Agut isn't the player that he was when he won all these matches against Gasquet. No, there was Gasquet, but I don't think there's as much of a gap between them as it would appear to be on the odds. So I think if you're betting in this one, I think over 22.5 is a possible play. Set one overs is also possible. As I said, four of their last five opening sets have gone to either 7-5 or 7-6. Or if you want a really big price, go for Bautista Agut to win it 2-1. I feel like it's... I don't think this current Bautista Agut is just going to turn up and waltz through this easily. I think there'll be some sort of resistance there. So that's where I'm looking at in this one.
Yeah, and obviously the French do well in their home tournaments, some of them in these lesser tournaments, not necessarily in the French Open itself, the pressure's on them, but in these lower-level tournaments, the French do well. So there is an incentive to do well in front of your home crowd. So that may inspire Richard Gasquet. Not an official pick, is that not official pick, Paul?
It's just Aline, this one, yeah. This is the second match that I was interested in Marseille.
So Aline, for that one, that's 11:20 Eastern time. So if you want to play any of those markets that Sean mentioned there, head to the BetRivers website. You got to 11:20 a.m. on Monday to place those bets. Another Frenchman in his action is Grégoire Barrère up against another Spaniard, Alessandro Davidovich Fekina. Barrère is not in very good form. If you look at his record, he's only won one of his last six matches and he's not at all playing well. Davidovich Fekina is very inconsistent. He's got on his days, an extremely talented player, but he does have too many off days. The prices here are minus 148 for Davidovich Fekina, who leads 1-0 in the head-to-head. Barrère is plus 118. The spread is 1.5, minus 109 for Barrère receiving the start, and minus 117 for Davidovich Fekina giving up the start. And the total again here is 22.5 again, with over minus 115, a small favourite with under minus 109. I said they've met once before. It was back in 2019 in Marrakesh on a clay court, and Davidovich won a tight match, 6-4 in third. There has been money for the Spaniard in the last hour or so since the lines come out. He's now down to minus 148. And there is a little bit of a negative towards Barrère, the Frenchman, because his form coming into it isn't that great. Can he overturn that form? Or do you think this will go the way that the money has gone for Davidovich Fekina?
I'm surprised there's been money for Davidovich based on his indoor hard record, which is absolutely awful. Look at the last 12 months, indoor hard main level. Grégoire Barrère, a 103 service points, one and return points, one total, and a 107 hold break total, 88% holds of serve. Davidovich, last 10 matches, 2-8 win-loss and a 91 total. And a hold break total of 77. 60%. He's only held serve 60% of the time as Davidovich Fekina on indoor hard. His whole career, 17 wins, 24 losses, 41% win rate. And he's lost 13 of his last 15 completed matches. So I'm struggling to see where this money for Davidovich has come from. He's not played since the Australian Open, where he lost a bad one to Bourges, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's coming in cold. Barrère is very much attuned to indoor hard. We know he likes playing in France on indoor hard. Highly motivated playing at home. He was unlucky to lose to Shevchenko last week, was Barrère. So, I mean, the stats, there's a world apart between these two on indoor hard. I don't understand why you would back Davidovich Fekina. He's not, he's done nothing on indoor hard that would make you feel like he's a good favourite here against a motivated home player who plays his best tennis indoors in France. So given that Barrère holds so often, 88% holds of serve, the handicap certainly appeals. So for me, either take Barrère to win the match, or take maybe a small handicap like 2.5 or something like that. That's where I'm going here. I mean, I'll just keep it simple and just take Barrère. On the indoor hard stats, that's certainly value.
Well, currently the best price in the world is on Davidovich Fekina is with BetRivers. And okay. BetRivers are being very careful with Barrère. They're plus 118. But I think that...
I'm not surprised. I mean, you look at these stats, you should have the prices either way around, really.
But I think the money will come here. I don't expect this minus 148 to hang around too long. I think the money will come for the Spaniard here. So if you are going to bet Barrère, is he going to be an official pick for us here at plus 118?
Yeah, on these indoor hard stats, I'm happy to take that as an official play. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be an official play here, but I do think that the market will get bigger in price. So if you want to hold out a little bit, you might get a little bit more juice in your price here. And this match is actually a day later. This isn't on Monday, this is on Tuesday. So you have got a bit of time. You can either go now, the plus 118. Usually when Sean does put up a selection, it usually gets heavily supported. So it's entirely up to you. Or you can wait a little bit, and I think the price may get a little bit bigger. So it's entirely up to you, but we do believe Barrère offers a little bit of value here against Davidovich Fekina. Two matches in France. It's both France v. Spain affairs. Okay, let's move a few thousand miles away now over to the States, where we have a tournament. It's a hard-talk tournament in Dallas. Before we look at the draw and before we look at the runners and riders, what are we going to expect over here in Texas, in Dallas?
Yeah, so this is the last time that this is playing as a 250. Its current venue, which is a Southern Methodist University on a quick lake hold indoor hard court with Dunlop ATP balls. It's been upgraded to an ATP 500 next year and moving to the Dallas Cowboys training facility complex, much bigger complex. So this is the last time you can catch it at the Southern Methodist Uni. There's a hint of altitude here. I think it's about 175 meters. And the two editions so far, this is its third time on the tour, they've seen it average 87% holds and 76% first serve ones. First serve points won. And 52% of the matches have featured a tiebreak. And 57% of the matches have gone over 22 and a half games. So very strong trend towards tiebreaks, holds of serve, overs, all that stuff. Not been a great tournament for underdog winners. It's only 28% on average have won so far in the first couple of years. So if you're betting in this tournament, you need to kind of be looking at the overs. But looking at this field, I'm looking at the wrong draw. If I was looking at the right draw, it would help. Looking at this field, there's not that many big servers in it this year, like Shelton and, you know, one or two others, but not, you know, the Isners and the Opelkas. Obviously, they're not there, but it is pretty quick conditions. The other thing that I perhaps should have mentioned a few minutes ago is that just check on your players before you bet them about their Davis Cup situation. Because a lot of these players, particularly in Marseille and Cordoba, and one or two here as well, have played Davis Cup. And you have to look at where they've come from, what they've done in Davis Cup, and sort of check their fatigue level. So this week can be a little bit tricky, but it's quick conditions in Dallas.
Yep, quick conditions. You look at the previous winners, that sort of backs that up. I mean, you said the Pelkeries won it twice. Wu last year won it, shot the winner there.
That was when it was in New York, it moved.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. But yeah. You've had Raonic has won it like three or four times. Nishikori. Kevin Anderson. I know it's at different venues, but it's got that kind of, you look at previous winners, you're looking for automatically for people who are big servers. So that obviously is a factor there. And it's a factor on the outright betting. We're going to come to that in a minute, but let's give you the draw. Four seeded players all the way through to the top four seeds, or through to the last 16, exactly the same as the tournament in Marseille. And three of them Americans. The number one seed is Francis Tiafoe. Number two seed is Tommy Paul. Number three seed is Ben Shelton. And number four is Adrian Manarino. He's had an unbelievable year so far. If you look at the way it should go, if you're looking at seedings, it would be Tiafoe against Purcell. The number six seed Purcell, Manarino against Christopher Eubanks, who's number five, Jordan Thompson against Ben Shelton, and Dominic Kopfer against Tommy Paul. Obviously, there are some dangerous floaters in there. I'm sure it won't go to that way, but it should go. If you went to the seedings, that's where you would be. Let's review some outright prices. Ben Shelton is plus 450. I can understand why he's the favourite here. I can, but he's in the bottom half of the draw, where he's an onside second favourite or joint favourite. Tommy Paul is also plus 450. Francis Tiafoe, not in the best of form, he's $5. Manarino, probably the form horse in it, plus 650. Christopher Eubanks, 11. Thompson, 12. Mickelson, 16. Nishioka, 18. Giron at 20-1. So where do you see the value here then, Sean? Because I think it looks quite a tough draw. I think on paper, you'd say the top half would probably be a little bit easier than the bottom half because you've got Shelton and Paul in there, but there's not really much quality around in this tournament, is there?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I'm taking another 28-1 chance here.
Sure. Interested in?
Yeah, I'm taking a punt on Dominic Kopfer here around about 28-1.
Right.
He's in the fourth quarter alongside Tommy Paul. You know, he's had his fair share of injury problems as Dominic Kopfer, but he seems to be right back on track now. He won the Canberra Challenger a few weeks ago, then played pretty well against Zverev in Melbourne in the Australian Open, lost in four pretty tight sets. Again, like Rusev Rory, comes here in fine spirits, having won his Davis Cup match, a big one and a good one as well. He beat Fabian Marijan in Hungary. So he's gone there to the opposition crowd in the hostile conditions, if you want to say that, as hostile as tennis gets anyway. And come up with a good win, straight sets win over Marijan. The other thing I like about Kopfer is he's got a really good record against big servers, which could come in extremely handy if he does have to play Ben Shelton in the last 16. You know, he's got an 8-4 win-loss record against the big servers in my database. He's beaten the likes of Opelka several times, beaten Karlovic a couple of times on indoor hard as well, beaten Cressy, beaten Raonic. So he's a player that does enjoy the challenge of facing these big servers. And I think there's a lot going for him here. Current form's good. As I said, he's come here in good spirits, does have a good record against big servers. He's beaten Tommy Paul in the past as well. So for me, he's the outstanding candidate if you're looking for a big price that could go deep in this tournament. So Kopfer, yeah.
Do you think that the Americans have been overvalued here by the books? I mean, Shelton plus dominated by Americans. The top three: Shelton $450, Paul $450, TFO $5, Newbanks 11 the full favorite. I mean, fifth favorite. Sorry, from what I've seen.
We'll come
so
on
far,
to him in a minute, but yeah,
what I've seen so far this year on all four of them. I mean, you wouldn't be betting any of them.
TFO is in no sort of form. Split up with his coach Wayne Ferreira a little while ago. Not 100% sure what the story was behind that, but has looked very, very lackluster in recent times. He's not been the same player since he lost that US Open match against Shelton when he was favourite and he just didn't show up. Since then, he's not really been the same man. Tommy Paul is very hard to win with. You know, he's only won one tournament at main level in his career, and not every week, but a lot of weeks, he's in the top sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 in the betting, isn't he? And he's very hard to actually get a title out of. Mm. You know, he did it again at the Australian Open, didn't he? Good performance against Draper, then lost to Kecmanovic. He's not the most consistent. I don't feel like I could back him at that sort of price. And Shelton, disappointing, really, at the Australian Open, had the chances to beat Mannarino and set up a match with Djokovic, which everyone would have loved to see, but didn't get it done. So, and Mannarino, he's just played Davis Cup for France. So we'll see what sort of state he turns up in. So I think the four favourites, the four seeds anyway, I don't think I'll be backing any of them with any real confidence. Shelton, if you had to push me, I'd probably take Shelton out of those four, but not with massive confidence.
No, they do look vulnerable. They're not in great form at all. So I think the sportsbooks have been a little bit careful because the patriotic money might be coming for the American players here, and it's dominated by American players at the top end of the market. We mentioned Christopher Eubanks, and he's the match you want to talk about tomorrow, the first match. This tournament starts at 1 p.m. Obviously, it's stateside. You won't have to get up nice and early. You'll be able to, your usual day, 1 p.m. is the first match, Eastern time. And that's the match we want to talk about here is Christopher Eubanks up against Vukic. Now, this is an interesting one for me because Christopher Eubanks is -195, a very likable player off the court, a very likable player with tennis bettors who are here with Bet Rivers at -195. Vukic is +155. The spread is 2.5. Vukic receives 2.5, -112, giving up 2.5. Eubanks at -113. And the total here is a very high 23.5, with over -109, under -117. They've met 7 times before. And unlike some of the head-to-heads, this one is quite, it's relatively interesting and it's relatively important, but it's very important because 5 of those matches were last year. And in those 5, 2 challenger events, and 5 of those matches were last year. And 4 of them, Vukic won. He's won his last 4 matches. Against Eubanks here. The one thing I would say is, well, there's been a lot of tie breaks when these two plays. If you look at their opening sets, a lot of tie breaks, a lot of overs in the opening set. So no surprise to see 23.5 as the line here. But Christopher Eubanks, -195. I mean, that seems, I wouldn't touch that with your money, John.
I wouldn't touch it with your money either. I mean, it's not a good price, is it?
No.
You can kind of see why, in a way, that they've priced it like that. Vukic is in pretty awful form at the minute. He's done nothing since. I mean, his last match win was what, October, against Karbaish Baena on a hard court. Hasn't won since then. So poor form. But you couldn't back Eubanks in this particular head to head. As you said, it's overall 5-2 to Vukic, and a service points 1 and return points 1 advantage to him, 105-95. So a substantial advantage in those statistics, as well as the overall head-to-head. Now, Vukic has held serve 91% of the time against Eubanks. Eubanks has only held serve 81% of the time, which is quite surprising when you think about how these two play. You would expect, you know, a lot of tiebreaks. Yeah, there have been, but 81% against Vukic, you would expect better than that from Eubanks. Vukic has obviously got a... He obviously enjoys playing Eubanks. He's obviously got a real good read on his serve, and he enjoys the rest of the matchup as well. Eubanks only won 29% of return points against Vukic. He doesn't win too many more than that as a general rule anyway, Eubanks. His return game is awful. Set one over 10.5 has cashed 6 of the 7 times they've met. So that would be the obvious bet over 10.5, which I think is a plus 140, plus 145 chance with Bet Rivers. Or alternatively, you could take Vukic at plus 2.5 games on the handicap at 1.9 minus 111. That's the two bets that I would be interested in there. The obvious one is the set one overs, but I would be perfectly happy to recommend Vukic on the handicap or just Vukic, you know, on this matchup.
Yeah, 28 different markets available. Bet Rivers, 1 p.m. start. That head across, you won't find a better array of tennis markets where you have sportsbook in America than you will find on the Bet Rivers website. So we think Vukic is going to give him some problems, +2.5, or maybe even the overs on the first set, which has come in pretty regularly in these matches between these two. And it's very important because they have played a lot last year, you know, 5 times last year. That's enough.
And all on hard, yeah.
Yeah, and when we were sort of talking about the head-to-head with the Gasquet and Batista Gut match in Marseille, I mean, the last time they met was 4 years ago. So that shows you how relevant this one is compared to that one. So take a look at that. The final tournament this week is in Cordoba. It's in Argentina. It's on the clay court there. It's the Argentina, the sort of the South American for swing now, the clay court.
The golden swing, yeah.
Yeah. You ever fancy going out to one of these over there to the Argentinians or Rio or something?
I've been to Buenos Aires. I watched the Davis Cup match there, Argentina against Italy a few years ago.
Well, I bet that was feisty, wasn't it?
Which was, yeah, it was good. Yeah, I was one of the only ones in the whole place supporting Italy because I'd had a bet on Italy. It didn't go down too well amongst the locals, I can assure you. So I don't know whether I'd be too welcome back at Parque Sarmiento in Buenos Aires. But yeah, answer to your question, yes, I would love to go out there and watch. Yeah. I don't know why I'd like to go out there this week because, as I'm about to mention, it is insanely hot out there. Really, really hot at the minute. So I don't think I'd fancy that too much. But yeah, I'd love to go on the Golden Swing. Unfortunately, I don't have that much time because it's like a month long, isn't it? I think if I said, you know, popped into the kitchen and said, "Hi, Natasha, I'm just off to the Golden Swing. I'll be back in, end of Feb, yeah, early March.
I don't think take the boy out there, play for Boca Juniors or something. Get a game. As long as I don't put him in midfield, you'd be all right.
I don't think he could cope with 38 degrees either. But yeah, I think it's a great part of the season, yeah.
So go on, tell us about the conditions here before we go on to the... Because we've got them. We haven't got any outright markets on this one, unfortunately. So Bet Rivers, we're filming this quite late today. And we're waiting for the price of the... There's obvious reasons why there's no lines up at the moment, which Sean will come on to. But when you do head across, we'll break down the draw. We'll look at some sort of potential, which we don't know any price yet. We do have 2 matches to talk about. You might as well tell us about the conditions, Sean. It's going to be hot, as you said, yeah?
Yeah, very important. There's lots of... kind of cover about the conditions here. So it's 428 meters of altitude in Cordoba. So it plays a bit quicker than your normal sea level clay event. But the players have said that the balls are quite a little bit heavy, so they do slow it down a little bit. But it features more tie breaks than your average clay event. 38%, if you can compare that with next week, Buenos Aires and Rio the week after. Both of those are 30% tie break matches. This is 38%. So just 1% fewer than Madrid. A lot of people will recall seeing the quicker conditions in Madrid at altitude on the clay. This is kind of similar. It obviously features a very, very similar amount of tie breaks as well. It actually features more tie breaks than Adelaide, which is generally regarded as one of the quicker conditions of the year. And 50% of the matches last year went to a tie break. So those are interesting numbers. 49% of the matches have gone over 22.5 in the 5 editions so far. But the really interesting thing is that this is the best tournament of the year for backing underdogs. A stunning 46% of them on average have won at this tournament in the 5 editions that we've had so far. In every single one of those 5 editions, if you just backed every underdog blindly, you'd be in profit every single year. So That's something to think about for sure. The other thing to think about is the weather. It's as I said, it's very, very hot. Today, it's only 34 degrees. Monday, 37. Tuesday, 37. Wednesday, 38. So the reason that the books haven't priced this up yet is because the number one seed has just finished playing. He's lost, actually, to Skatov in the Davis Cup. They're playing that in Rosario, which is, I think, about 300 or 400 miles away. also very, very hot there. And Cerundolo said after his match that he won the other day, he said, it's very hard to play with this temperature. I was dying. So that was...
And he's a local lad.
And he's from Buenos Aires, yeah. So he's, you know, used to these kind of temperatures. But it's going to be so, so hot. Thursday, it's going to break a bit with thunderstorms and go down to a, you know, a cool 34. So the first 3 or 4 days, you know, really, really hot. So that's something to think about. And a lot of these players have played Davis Cup as well and on different surfaces. The other thing to think about is the trends. Qualifiers do have a strong record here, but in these conditions, these really hot conditions, it's hard to see a qualifier battling it out over two matches in 35, 36, then going on to win the main draw as well. That doesn't seem likely in this heat. The number one seed hasn't won the title yet, but there's been 3 Argentinian winners and 3 finalists from 5 editions, and there hasn't been a single finalist that doesn't speak Spanish. So... Yeah. Unless somebody, you know, knows Spanish that I don't know about. But basically, Argentinians and Spanish speakers, they certainly rule the roost here as far as Corda was concerned.
Alcaraz won it last year. Casper Ruud won it in 2022 and 2020. Diego Schwartzman was the last home player to win it. And it's dominated by Argentinians on the top seeds. 4 seeds again, but got by through to the last 16. So they
Alcaraz
have...
didn't win it last year, did he?
I've looked at the... Yeah, Alcaraz won it in 2023, didn't he? I'm sure he did. Anyway, I'll come on to that. Well, we'll answer the question. I'll find that. I've written the last 2023. Yeah, Kras, Ruud, Schwartzman, Ruud. Anyway, we'll find that.
And I've got Baez, Ramos, Cerundolo, Garrett, and Londero.
What have I done then? I've looked at the wrong tournament.
Probably at Buenos Aires.
Must have looked. I've put at the Argentinian.
Which is anyway, next week.
Well, next month. I'm getting ahead of myself for next week. So
anyway, next week.
I was thinking Casper Ruud can't speak Spanish. What's he on about? He won't care. I don't know.
That's Buenos Aires you're looking at there.
I've done the wrong tournament. I knew it was in Argentina. I'm not very good at geography.
They're not a million miles away from each other.
Yeah, I'm all right. Let's have a look at the draw. Number one seed is, as Sean said, there, Cerundolo, Francesco Cerundolo. He's got beaten in Davis Cup, but he's the number one seed here. He's got a bye. Also, the other bye, Sebastian Baez. He's the defending champion then, yeah? Sebastian Baez. He's the second seed, number two seed. Echeverry is number 3 seed. He's in the top half of Cerundolo. And number 4 seed is Sebastian Offner, the Austrian. I don't think he's going to like the Austrians. Are not going to be used to the conditions here. If he goes to seed in Cerundolo, will play Kabeash Baena. Echeverry will play Altmaier. Hanferman will play Offner. And Tabilo will play Baez. But obviously, there's some very, very dangerous opponents in there. It's very hard for you to predict the winner because we haven't got any odds. But if you
it's hard anyway, even if we did have odds.
Yeah, but if you were looking at someone on the draw, if you were sort of leaning towards someone now, any sort of area where you think there might be some value or a weaker section of the bracket?
Yeah, I mean, in this heat, you've got to say who wants this. I mean, a lot of players won't, will they? You know, they've got to play their first 2 rounds, some of these guys, not the ones with the bye necessarily, although they'll probably have to play one, but they're going to have to play the first round at least, if not 2, in really, really hot conditions. Argentinian players do look like the obvious choice. Pedro Cachin is from Cordoba. I quite like his chances. I haven't seen the prices yet. If I can get about 25 to 1 or so, 20 to 1, something like that on Pedro Cachin, I'd be interested. He's not in great form, which is good as far as the price is concerned. You know, he's certainly got a good chance of beating Ramos in the first round. But a lot of these, you know, a lot of these could win this. I mean, as you said, I don't fancy the Europeans, the likes of Altmaier, Hanfman, Offner. You know, are these guys going to be able to cope with 37, 38? Maybe, but you would prefer a South American, I think. The number one seed is in no sort of form, Cerundolo. He won his first Davis Cup rubber and then just lost about 20 minutes ago, as I said, to Skatov in his second one. You know, Argentina are in a bit of trouble in that tie because Echeverry lost his first match as well. So they're going to have to try and turn that around. The other thing about Cerundolo and some of the other guys that are from Buenos Aires is that it is Buenos Aires next week. Last year, Cerundolo...
Alcaraz won it last year. Alcaraz won it last year.
So you were looking at Buenos Aires.
Casper Ruud won it too.
Right, okay. So Cerundolo retired in the quarterfinals in Cordoba here last year. And got a bit of stick because he was clearly saving himself for Buenos Aires next week. So I think you've got to look at the Argentinians generally, but the two that I quite like, I haven't seen the odds. Like I said, Cachin, and I quite like Diaz Acosta as well. But there's a lot of these clay courts in with a chance. Argentinians I'd go for. I would certainly avoid the sort of Northern Europeans.
Yep. Offner falls into that category, number four seed, and he'll be amongst the favourites. But I don't.
And he's playing an indoor hard in Davis Cup right now, Offner.
He's not going to like the conditions here. Let's have a look. Two matches, though. We do have some match bets. You're talking about the tournament for underdogs. I'm sure that you'll be giving some thoughts on these underdogs. So the first one we're going to talk about is a battle between Brazil and Bolivia. So two South American players, Thiago Seaboth Wild up against Hugo Delien. Seaboth Wild is -$2 of it on the money line to win this. Delien is +150. And if you look at Seaboth's record this year, it's absolutely dreadful. He's only won one match in qualifying in Adelaide. He hasn't won a main draw tournament. I don't think he's even won a set this year in a main draw.
And he took Rublev to five, didn't he, in the Australian Open? But other than that, he's not.
But I think that's probably why he's been priced up this price. -2. Other than that, he's done nothing. And the head-to-head is 3-2 to Delien. And they met twice last year, and Delien won them both, all on clay. So -$2, +150. We haven't got any props yet, and we haven't got any other markets, but they will be available on the BetRivers website. And the tournament starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So, Sean, now, hey, I mean, you said it's a tournament for underdogs. You want to bet underdogs. Delien looks a nice underdog here at +150.
Yeah, he's one with obvious chance, yeah. Be a nice story if he happened to win this tournament, Delien. You know, because he's had a fair bit of time away from the tour recently. He had a bad injury when he was at his highest ranking, which was unfortunate for him. And then his father became seriously ill as well, so he took time off for that reason. And now he's back playing well again, and he became a dad of twins about a week or so ago, Delien. So hopefully, from his point of view, things are kind of on the up. As you said, he's won his last three against Seaboth Wild, two of which came at altitude. One of them was here last year in Cordoba. The other one was in Santiago. He ended up making the semi-finals here in Cordoba last year as a qualifier. So he's a player that has gone well at altitude numerous times, Delien. The head-to-head, 4-3, as you mentioned, to Delien. A slight advantage to Delien, as you would expect in the service points winner, return points won totals, 101-99. And Delien was a decent favourite for all three of those three recent meetings that he won. He was a good favourite. Now he's underdog. As you said, it's not on form because Seaboth's only won one of his last 10 matches, but you know they were all on hard courts. He's certainly more of a clay courter, Seaboth, generally speaking. But I don't think we can ignore the odds on Delien here. So it's just Delien for me.
Yeah, Delien on the money line +150. I agree with that play. I think it's a nice play. And the underdogs, as Sean has said, brilliant, brilliant record in this tournament, Cordoba. If you bet them all blind in the last 3 years, was it, Sean? Then you made a profit.
All 5 years it's been on tour. Years. Yeah.
The final match on a bumper game bet match today is the match between Christian Garin. I mean, he just slid down the rankings at an alarming rate, Christian Garin, the Chilean. He's -175 against Sabata Morales. Our old mate, Sabata Morales, he's +136. You've been quite negative about Sabata Morales on this show every time we've spoken about him, I think you might be liking him today.
Well, it's horses for course, isn't it? I don't like him on hard, certainly not indoor hard. But yeah, this time of year is his time of year, really. Two players here very much out of form, but I do like the price on Zapata. You know, Garin's in one of his slumps again. He does this, Garin. I think he's had a lot of injury problems over the last sort of couple of years. He's currently on Davis Cup duty in Santiago, but they're playing on hard courts there, and they're nowhere near finished with that tie. So he'll obviously, while he's not actually played, he wasn't picked for singles or doubles. So he's been a bit of a passenger, really. But they're playing on hard, so he's obviously going to be hitting on hard. He'll be practicing, obviously. He won't be playing on clay. He's obviously hitting on hard courts. So he's got to switch surfaces. And as I said, that tie is nowhere near finished yet. So he's got a hot foot it from Santiago, Chile, to Cordoba, which is not going to be that easy to do. So you would think he's going to have hardly any time to prepare for the clay courts. Last time he played on clay, which was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago at the Punta del Este Challenger. Very, very poor loss to Marco Cecchinato, who himself has been in dreadful form in recent times. Cecchinato beat him 3-2. I think he only won 1 point on his second serve, Garin, in that match. 1 of 12, I think it was. So no sort of form. And he did say, actually, Garin, a week or two ago, what was his quote? The start of the year has been difficult in every sense, but I trust the process. That was before he lost to Cecchinato. So no sort of form at all for Christian Garin. So Patrick Morales has got to start playing because he's got a lot of points to defend here. He had a very good golden swing last year. Semi-finals in Buenos Aires, semi-finals in Rio as well. So he's obviously going to have had more time to prepare. He lost early, didn't he, in Montpellier last week to Lestienne. So he should be there in good time to have at least a couple of days to prepare. Last 12 months, clay stats, there's nothing in it at all. Main level, both got service points, one and return points, one total of 100. So I'm kind of struggling to see why Garin is priced as he is in these circumstances. So I'm happy to take Zapata.
Zapata
beat him as well the last time they played on clay.
Sorry?
Zapata beat him as well the last time they played on clay.
Plus 136, a nice price of Garin, who slid down the world rankings down to just inside the top 100, 89 at the moment. He was a top 25 player, wasn't he? Well, must have been in the top 25, Garin, at some stage.
I think he was 17 at one stage.
Wow. Yeah. I used to like him in these tournaments a couple of years ago. He was my go-to man in these sort of tournaments. So maybe four years ago.
He won Rio. He's definitely got the better pedigree. You would say at his best, he's the classier player without a doubt, but he hasn't been at his best for quite some considerable time.
He hasn't been at his best, and it's a tournament for underdogs in Cordoba. Okay, that's brilliant. It's been a busy, busy show. Remember, there's huge, lots more content. You can subscribe to the Betting Weekly Studios on YouTube, where you get all the tennis content back. We've just done. I've recorded a show with Rory Giovanni, looking at the WTA. Rory had a 25-1 semi-finalist last week, and each way got beaten in the semi-finalist, very close to making the final. And we're looking at the tournaments in Abu Dhabi, and we're looking at the tournament. Where was the other tournament? I can't remember. I'm so busy that I can't remember.
The wrong person to ask about that.
I can't remember where the other tournament was. I only spoke to him 10 minutes ago. I can't remember where the other tournament was. No, it's in Abu Dhabi one. Oh, it's in Transylvania. So that'll be something to get your teeth into. Anyway,
the Dracula Open.
Yeah, Dracula Open. That's on the YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe. Loads of new subscribers in the last few weeks. So fantastic amount of subscribers. Great views, great feedback. If you've got a bet, anything you want to question, anything you want to ask, put it on the comments there. If you agree with our selections, if you disagree, let us know. Let us know what you think. And also, there's going to be some great football soccer content coming on as well with the Champions League returns next week. Looking forward to that as well. And you can also follow us on our socials at Because We Win on Twitter, and also at Because We Win on Instagram. And Instagram is getting some new look feel to it at the moment. Lots of good stuff on there. We're getting an exclusive content there. So please give us a follow on our Instagram page. And also, you can download this podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. Sean, it's been a month today. I'm sure you're going to sit down and analyze the football today. I'm sure you're going to send an email to the manager and let him know about your frustrations about playing Lakers as a holding midfielder.
Sorry? Be a face-to-face chat, that will be. Oh, no emails.
Well, there you go. So don't mess with the Calverts. The Calverts when you play Lagan in midfield, the holding midfielder. But anyway, I'm sure you're going to have that to sort out. Thanks very much for your time. Good luck with your bets. Just give us what's your official picture, just your official ones that we're going to register here so everyone knows the official plays.
I haven't got the prices on screen, but Zapata Morales.
Yeah, +136, that one.
To beat Garin in Cordoba. The other one was Delien to beat Saboth Wild, also in
+150.
Cordoba. I think the other one was in Marseille, wasn't it? Yeah, Barrère.
Yeah.
Grégoire Barrère to beat Davidovich Fokina.
+118.
Yeah, about 2.1, 2.2, something like that, yeah.
So they're our picks, all outsiders. So looking for a good start. And they're looking for that trend to continue in Cordoba where the outsiders win.
There's some outrights as well, aren't there?
Yeah, we've got the outrights. We've got Ruzavori in Marseille. We've gone for, who was the other one in Dallas? I can't remember the Dallas.
Oh, Dominic Kopfer in Dallas. Both around one, if you get on those two.
Okay, that's been the show. It's been a bit of a long one. Thanks very much for watching it. And we'll be back again on Tuesday, looking at the matches in these tournaments. And on Wednesday as well. So Tuesday and Wednesday, myself and Sean will be back looking at all the match betting on these three tournaments. Have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll speak to you again on Tuesday. Take care.